Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
All right, welcome to Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online at sportingjournalradio.com, and by subscribing to the podcast in iTunes. We're going to get an update from the North Dakota side of the Red River from Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department later in the show. Also, Artie Arndt from Artie's Bait and Tackle in Ortonville. We'll talk about the border water opener on Big Stone taking place right now. It's going on this weekend. Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods will give us an update on the Rainy River conditions. People are up there chasing those giant sturgeon and also big northern pike. Still a lot of ice on the big lake up there. And then Jamie Dittman will join us. He'll talk about his trip up to the Rainy River that he took recently and some of the fishing conditions around the Brainerd Lakes area. First up, though, we're going to start with Brian Winter. He's the program director for the Nature Conservancy. He's also the president of the Minnesota Prairie Chicken Society. Brian, of course, we've had you on the show before. Welcome back to Sporting Journal Radio.
Thank you, and good morning, Brett.
Seems like this time of year, people are starting to transition into turkey hunting or getting ready for open water fishing or getting ready for the opener, things like that. So it's one of those weird transitional times. And being a guy that does a weekly radio show like this, I'm always looking for what's going on right now. What can we tell people about? What can they go do right now? And one of the coolest things that I've done in the outdoors, and it takes place this time of year, is go sit in a viewing blind up there not far from Moorhead and watch the prairie chickens on their booming grounds doing their dance. Brian, it's a really neat experience, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Everybody that has been in our blinds, and we've had people from many foreign countries and just about every state now in our viewing blinds, and everybody comes out with a smile and just can't believe the experience that they just had. And there's not many things in nature that I would ever guarantee, but the one thing that I can guarantee, as long as you have an active booming ground, you can pretty much guarantee that when somebody goes out there early in the morning to watch the birds, those birds are going to show up. They're drawn to that booming ground because of the mating season in the spring. The prairie chickens are mating so that the hens get ready to go nest in the grass, and the males put on quite a show trying to basically get the attention of the females to be the lucky guy that, you know, wins the right to mate with her. The experience is, you know, up close and personal. The birds are oftentimes within feet of the viewing blind. There's, you know, on our booming ground this year, there's around 30 males, and on a really good morning, which we're just starting to get into a time frame where it's peak for females to be coming in for a breeding, there can be equal numbers of females. So you can have 50 or 60 birds within literally, you know, 50 yards of you in that blind, all dancing, puffing up their orange sacks, erecting their rabbit ears that are called pinnae on their head, stomping their feet and fighting like crazy at times as the males sort of jostle for position on the booming ground. And so it is quite an experience. And I've done it many times, and I really never get sick of it, frankly. It's still, there's something new to see every time.
Right, and watching them fight each other, I didn't realize just how, you know, it looks pretty vicious how when they spar with each other, what they do. And the thing about it, Brian, that I always am surprised to see is when a female finally does pick a male, and the male says, all right, well, let's do this, and then they start doing what animals in nature do, the other males will come and try to knock them off the top of her. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's a pretty rough world there. I mean, feathers literally do fly. When they fight, the males are using their beak to try to rip the feathers off of the other one. And I think they really are trying to break the pinnae on the male, because that's part of their display. And, you know, those are several inch tall pinnae sticking right up above their head. And I think as they go after each other with their beak, if you can make another male look a little less enticing to a female, it's probably a good thing for you.
Sure.
And, but yeah, you could, I've watched the mating as you have, where they're just finally getting down to the deed and another male will just come flying in and side whack the male right off.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing that the population can grow at all. And that population, I know it seems like it's stable. It seems to me like it's actually doing well. Granted, it's a small pocket of birds in the state of Minnesota compared to what it used to be. Now, Brian Winter is our guest here. He's the president of the Minnesota Prairie Chicken Society. He's also the program director with the Nature Conservancy. Is it Glendon up there, Brian?
Yep, Glendon is the address, off the Bluestem Prairie near the Buffalo River State Park is where we're located.
It's a great area, and that's where I sat in a viewing blind. It was a beautiful place. It was an easy walk to get to, and it was an incredible thing to see. And I know it's not easy getting into those viewing blinds. They fill up fast. What are you seeing this year? Could people still get out there and jump in one of those? Is it because of the weather? Is it later this year, or what are things like right now?
Well, definitely this weather has been, quite unusual. It's been a late spring, lots of snowstorms, and the males have been doing their thing, and we've actually had our blinds out since the end of March, and there's been some brave souls going through some of them tough storms and watching birds, so it's been being used just about every day, and the males have been showing up. But as I've been doing my census work too, hens showing up on the grounds have been pretty slim until, really just the last day or two. Our weather's starting to get nice, and now we're starting to see a lot of females coming in. So we're really just moving into what I'd call peak, activity, because when the females are there, the males really whoop it up, literally, and they make whooping calls when the females are there. And so the best period is just coming. In terms of the viewing blinds right here at Bluestem, they're pretty full, but there may be a few openings during the week yet, and I can get the contact information for that. There are also a number of other places up on the Glacial Ridge National Wildlife Refuge in Polk County near Crookston. There's blinds in Norman County by Twin Valley, Minnesota. There's blinds by Rossay, Minnesota. And so there are other opportunities, even if our blinds are full, where you can get in a viewing blind and watch the show. And one of the best places to get more information about those viewing opportunities is the Minnesota Prairie Chicken Society has a website, and it's prairiechickens.org. And if you go there, there's click on the How to View link, and it'll show you the numbers, contact numbers, or who you should call if you're interested in getting in a viewing blind.
PrairieChickens.org. Our guest, Brian Winter here, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about prairie chickens in Minnesota and where you can go watch them and see them do their spring ritual on the leks or the booming grounds. And you brought up the noise that they make, Brian, and that to me was one of the, other than watching them spar with each other, one of the coolest aspects of sitting on the lek in a viewing blind was the noises they make, the sounds that they make, and it starts before sunrise, or it did for me anyway, and it was still dark out, and I was sitting in there. It's like a hunting situation. You want to get in there while it's still dark. You want to get in there before the animals, or birds in this case, get active. And it started before dark, and you could just hear this noise, and it was the booming noise, or the noise they make as they fill up their sacks, and it was surreal. I felt like it was like being in a haunted house, Brian, because all these these surreal noises were coming from every direction as these birds moved in to the lek, and it was it still is one of the coolest things I've gotten to do in the outdoors.
Yeah, well, that's great, and I agree with you. By getting in there in the dark before the birds have arrived, and it's basically quiet, and then when they start to come in and start to turn on, it's almost like you flip the lights on, and they're one of their calls. They make a variety of vocalizations, but one of their calls, which is sort of how they get their name, booming, is kind of this haunting, eerie kind of echoing kind of call. And some people have described it similar to if you were to take a pop bottle and blow across the top of it, or where you get that kind of ooh kind of a sound. And so that's where the haunting sort of feeling comes from, I guess, when you hear that. But they cackle, they hoop, they do make a variety of vocalizations depending on, the activity, whether there's females on the booming ground and that type of thing. And so there's all the visual displays that they provide you, but there's a lot of, audio displays, I guess, that they provide as well.
How late into the season do you think somebody could go out there and still see birds on a lek out of a viewing blind?
You could see birds, really to the end of May even. They get a lot less active as you start to push towards the end of May, but those males hang in there tough because we all know that the life of a nest, a prairie chicken nest out in the grass is pretty tough. There's the skunks and raccoons and a lot of predators that find those nests and destroy them. And So the one thing about wildlife is they're resilient. And so prairie chickens will re-nest multiple times if they have to. And so they'll keep coming back to that booming ground if they lose a nest and breed again and then go start another nest. And by the time you get towards the end of May, then there's just not enough time to successfully incubate the eggs and raise young to a size where they can survive a Minnesota winter. So that's the point where hens quit coming back to the booming ground, and then males kind of give up for the year and disperse and go back to doing prairie chicken things out in the grass instead of the booming ground.
Sure. Well, once again, Brian, give us the website where people can find out more information about this.
You can find out more information on prairiechickens.org in terms of the different places to see prairie chickens in the state of Minnesota. And I would say that there's another opportunity to view a bird similar to prairie chickens. It's called the sharp-tailed grouse. And you can go to a website called sharptails.org, and there's viewing opportunities for that bird as well that people might be interested in.
Well, and that's a whole nother discussion, because I've got some questions for you about Sharpies, so maybe we'll have you on the radio show again. But for now, prairie chickens, the viewing blinds are going. This is the time to go if you can get in one. Prairiechickens.org.
Yep, that's correct.
All right, Brian Winter, President, Minnesota Prairie Chicken Society, and also Program Director at the Nature Conservancy. Thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
You're welcome.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages. Perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. The ice is strong and the bite is on. Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online at sportingjournalradio.com, and by subscribing to the podcast and iTunes. We're going to head up to Lake of the Woods now and check in with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. And Joe, I know walleyes closed last weekend, but you still see anglers up there, quite a few anglers actually this time of year, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, just because walleye season's finished up, that finished up on April 14th, just because that's finished up, certainly doesn't mean there's no fishing going on. I mean, you know, right now, I know a lot of anglers that actually target April 15th to go up there. And the reason for that is the walleye anglers clear out to get out of the way because they want to go fish sturgeon.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, and I heard from a few people that wanted to wait because it does get pretty busy up there when people are up there fishing for walleyes, and for good reason. The fishing is really good, but a lot of people target those sturgeon this time of year. They like to do it when the pressure on the river is a little bit less. And Joe, from what we talked about last week here on the show, there were some monster fish getting caught.
Yeah, there really is. You know, it's interesting. I just wrote a blog yesterday for the Lake of the Woods Tourism's newsletter. And, you know, it had to do with the Minnesota DNR having the catch and release records, and they added pike to that. But what brought me to that topic is, at looking at the current records, there's a tie for the state record sturgeon, lake sturgeon, and of course both are on the Rainy River. And you know, the DNR says that, you know, they have to be 70 inches or more to be able to register them as a possible record. And then you measured the length and the girth. But, you know, it's interesting, there's been a lot of fish caught that are like 67 that look like tubby. They are huge fish, but maybe they don't quite reach that 70 inch mark. So yeah, so, you know, it's interesting. And there have been a lot of big fish caught, you know, many of them caught accidentally by walleye anglers.
Sure. And I think that's some of the fun. I think it would be a blast to hook into one of those giant sturgeon while you're trying to catch walleyes, and, you know, 10-pound test, you know, lighter action type rods. I think that'd be fun. And I know we had Keith Cavias on the show from the Next Bite TV last week here on the radio show. And, Joe, we talked about it too. They had their second best walleye show they've ever filmed in their 15-year career filming The Next Bite. Second best walleye show. Think about all the walleyes those guys have caught. And they crushed on the Rainy before the walleye season closed up. But they also caught one of those, I think it was a 67-inch sturgeon while they were up there, Joe. They did pretty well on sturgeon, too.
Yeah. You know, and I tell you, Keith Goliath is just a stud angler. And his reputation as a tournament angler, I mean, he's one of the best that has won big tournaments. And of course, they have the Next Bite TV show. But, yeah, you know, that's pretty neat. And you got to figure, too, all those walleyes that they caught in the river, those are all Lake of the Woods walleyes. Now, those are coming from the lake. And, you know, it just goes to show the quality of fishery of Lake of the Woods with the big fish. I mean, you know, the old saying is, in order to catch a trophy walleye, you need to fish in a lake that has a lot of trophy walleyes. And, you know, Lake of the Woods, we're so fortunate to have the gene pool. You know, we have tulabies in the system, which is the right forage to grow big walleyes. And of course, we have a great, big, diverse lake, and that all helps. You know, it's amazing, you know, when you're walleye fishing, how you can catch those sturgeon on a jig and a minnow. And, you know, you're slow working that jig and a minnow, and those sturgeon are feeding based on scent typically. And, you know, they're scavengers. If they can grab a piece of a minnow or whatever the case might be, they're going to do it. And, you know, when you and myself and Jamie Dittman fished, remember Jamie hooked into that nice sturgeon, and he was smart enough that when he got that head turned up, luckily, he kept that fish coming, and we got it relatively quickly. However, in many cases, when you get a nice sturgeon on, when that fish realizes it's hooked, it'll stay in that bottom. And you have everything you have to do to try to get that fish up. You got to follow them with your boat. And many times it's a 45-minute to an hour ordeal.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Joe. Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking Rainy River sturgeon. A couple of years ago, I was up there with Jamie Dittman again fishing for sturgeon. And we fished, this was still when the walleye season was open, and we fished for walleyes, caught a bunch of walleyes. Then we transitioned to sturgeon. And got the sturgeon gear out. So the big, heavy, musky rods, the big old circle hooks with the crawlers on it, dropped it down to the bottom, and just fished for sturgeon. And we kept catching big walleyes. Mm-hmm. So what's the ruling up there? Because we always talk about accidental sturgeon catches when you're walleye fishing, but what about accidental walleye catches when you're sturgeon fishing? Now, I know when you catch something out of season, you're supposed to return it. And I don't even think you're supposed to take a picture of it. But if somebody catches one of those monster walleyes while they're sturgeon fishing up there, Joe, can they take a picture of it?
I defer to the DNR. You're not going to get me on that one. I know what I would probably do. I would take great care of that fish. I'd get that fish back very quickly. But would there be a picture taken? Oh, possibly. You know, right. You know, I mean, but it's interesting. You talk about fishing for sturgeon, and I guarantee you are probably fishing in one of the holes of the river with a gob of night crawlers. And you know, figure those walleyes live in that hole too. And when you're hanging those crawlers or a gob of crawlers and, you know, frozen shiners in front of a big walleye, you know, no surprise, they're going to come and whack it once in a while. So it's kind of neat.
It was so funny, Joe, because we were trying to catch big sturgeon. I know I've told this story 100 times on the radio show, and you've heard me probably say it 100 times, but we were trying to catch big sturgeon, and everybody in the boat had caught, you know, a good sized sturgeon up there in the Rainy River, except me. And I kept catching 25, 26 inch walleyes, and I was just getting mad. And how do you get mad at that?
Well, and you know, it's funny because when you're using bigger tackle, pulling a 25 inch walleye in cold water, you know, I can see why you're mad.
It's pretty easy. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'll say this, you know, for people that haven't been up to the Rainy River, sturgeon fishing, you know what? It's easy fishing. Here's what you do. First off, our website has all the accesses on the river. We even have videos on how to rig for sturgeon and how to fish them on our website. It's all there. It's simple. You find an access, you go out, you use your GPS on your boat to find a hole in the river. You anchor up somewhere in that hole. I prefer the upstream part of the hole, and you use a sturgeon rig. And basically you can buy sturgeon rigs up there at the bait stores. Tom's Tackle makes them. They're a 18-inch lead of 60-pound leader with a 5-aught circle hook and a big swivel on it. You know, you use a no-roll 4 to 5-ounce sinker based on the current. You load that 5-aught hook up with either crawlers or a combination of crawlers and frozen shiners. You pitch it in that hole. you tighten your line up once it hits the bottom, and then you just fish like you are for catfish or carp. You know, the sturgeon, even big ones, will just tap a little bit. When you set the hook on a circle hook, you don't have to rear back. You just reel and pull tight, and that hook will find its way to its lips so you don't hurt the sturgeon. And then the fight is on. It is, you know, the big thing is, bigger tackle makes it easier. Neo also makes it easier on the fish. You don't fight them as long, and it's better for the fish. Make sure that you have your needle nose ready to go. Have a tape measure so you can measure the fish. Have a camera ready to go. And have a big net or some kind of a lasso to put around the tail to be able to get that sturgeon in when you get him to the boat. Other than that, it's easy, it's relaxing, and it's fun.
So, Joe, last week when we talked about this, Jamie Dittman was up there fishing sturgeon through the ice, through 30 inches of ice on the Rainy River, while just a couple of miles away, guys were fishing open water. What's the river look like right now, Joe?
You know, it's the water's still clear because we haven't had any runoff. So the water's real clear. We got the Birchdale access, Frontier access, and I think the Vitus access is just opening up. So that open water makes its way from the east to the west. And then, of course, when it hits Baudette finally, then it'll turn north and make its way to the river. So, you know, we're following that open water, and there's a huge stretch of open water right now. So if people want to fish, you got plenty of water to do it in for sturgeon. So it's coming. It's later than normal, you know, no doubt about it. But thank goodness we did have a couple accesses pop open for that walleye season, which made it pretty epic this year.
Just got about a minute left or so with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism here on Sporting Journal Radio. We haven't even talked about northern pike at all and those big pike that you can catch up there. Are people still getting out on the ice with tip-ups, Joe?
Yeah, they are. You know, so pike are open all year in Lake of the Woods. There's no closed season because we're border water with Canada. We got an extended season. And, you know, they are. There's people getting out catching them on tip-ups. Those pike are pre-spawned, so they're getting congregated out in front of their spawning areas. So they are getting a lot of fish. You know, there's a lot less ice fishing activity because the resorts and outfitters have pulled off the lake. And very simply, they're not monitoring the roads, which it's very, very helpful, you know, for people going out ice fishing, that you got somebody watching the roads, bridging cracks, rerouting you. You know, now you're on your own. So great, great care has to be taken. Fish with a partner. Don't take chances. Have safety equipment if you get out there, et cetera, et cetera. Now, it's probably going to be good fishing when you get out there, but a little bit of risk involved now if you're on your own.
For sure. All right, Joe, if people want to get up there, try to chase pike around or maybe go after sturgeon on the Rainy River, where can they find out some more information?
You know, everything's on our website. Check out our website. It's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Joe, thank you very much. Coming up, we're going to get a report from North Dakota Game and Fish Department with Doug Lear. We will also find out more about the border opener on the other side of the state with South Dakota at Big Stone there with Artie Arndt from Artie's Bait and Tackle in Ortonville. And Jamie Dittman, he's been mentioned a couple times in this interview. We'll see what the latest is with him in the Brainerd Lakes area too. Coming up on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Baudette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, you're listening to Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online at sportingjournalradio.com or by subscribing to the podcast in iTunes. Well, we all know about the traditional Minnesota opener. It always takes place around Mother's Day. This year, the jokes are we going to be ice fishing on the opener? Well, some things change when you get around the edges of the state and you get into some of those border waters. Take a lake like Big Stone, for example, on the border of South Dakota and Minnesota. With their special regulations, they open up this weekend. And to tell us more about it, Artie Arndt from Artie's Bait and Tackle in Ortonville joins us here on the radio show. Artie, are you ready for this weekend?
As ready as we're going to be.
You know, everybody, that deals in the fishing industry, they look forward to that May opener across the state of Minnesota, and it's chaotic. It's hectic. People are scrambling. There's a lot going on. The governor gets involved and things like that. But for you, I got to imagine that this is your weekend like that. I got to imagine things get pretty busy on a weekend like this.
Yeah, you're right. Normally, a border water opener is a pretty big event out here on Big Stone Lake. Over the years, we've had a tremendous bite of walleyes. You know, being able to fish a little earlier than the inland waters, we get to take advantage of that male bite that runs up on the shorelines. Guys casting, jigging a minnow, doing good numbers of fish. Typically, shortly after ice out is pretty common. But obviously, we're froze up, so we're going to probably be getting a full venturing out ice fishing, but not our normal opener, that's for sure.
Yeah, how much ice is on the lake right now?
We've got about 2 feet of ice, about 24 inches. Plenty.
So as a guy that kind of relies on fishermen for big part of your business, probably main part of your business there, what is 2 feet of ice on the opener mean for you?
2 feet ice on opener means we're certainly not going to see the crowds we normally see, but we are expecting a crowd of people to be ice fishing on opener this year. A lot of them, it's kind of a novelty to be ice fishing on an opener, of course, but not near the crowd that we would normally see for an opener, I'm sure.
What historically in the past, how many times have you been ice fishing on the border water opener like this?
The last time I remember would have been 2013, and our ice out then was May 8th. So it was very similar to what's going on this year. And that there we had ice on the lake for opener as well. But that's the last time that I remember where we were actually froze up for our border water opener.
Artie Arndt, our guest from Artie's Bait and Tackle in Ortonville, talking about the border water opener taking place this weekend on Big Stone on the border of Minnesota and South Dakota here on Sporting Journal Radio. So the bite traditionally this time of year kind of a shallow water bite, and are you expecting to see a lot of guys drilling holes close to shore?
Well, it's interesting you ask that. I would say not as much. I don't know if it's just because of tradition. Most people are heading out to the basin to fish. We have obviously got that awesome perch bite on Big Stone that we've gotten very well known for. And what we saw before in 2013, and I would expect to see again, is a lot of people heading out to get in on that tail end of that perch fishing still. Certainly there's a good population of walleyes on the lake. I don't know how many people will be targeting those, and I don't honestly know if those fish will be up shallow quite yet or not. So,
sure. So you expect most people this weekend are going to be fishing for perch, and they can be fishing for perch right now, right?
Oh yeah. Yep. Perch season is year round, and we've still got people venturing out and getting pictures every now and again. There's still a good perch bite out there. I wouldn't say it's, limits by any means, but there's still some nice catches being made on the perch.
So when it comes to, say, the midnight opener, Friday night, the Saturday morning, however you want to look at it, or the border water opener, Big Stone Lake, do you see a lot of guys going out at midnight, or are they out there already fishing for perch and then they're just going to switch over at midnight?
You know, a lot of the guys, there's tradition. You know, Big Stone Lake is 26 miles long. It's full of cabins and houses. And it is a big tradition for a lot of people to come out for the opener. So I do anticipate a fair amount of people to be carrying out their tradition of fishing, you know, at midnight, whether it be with an ice auger or however they're doing it. We're expecting an influx of people this weekend to be fishing. As of right now, there's a few people venturing out, but not a lot of people out there.
Now, for guys that are going to be out there fishing, then maybe they go out early. And I mean, legally, you can go out and fish for perch, and then all of a sudden, and I'm assuming a lot of guys, the techniques aren't going to be too far apart from what they're going to do for walleyes versus perch. It's just the difference is going to be starting at midnight, they'll be able to start keeping them.
Right. That is the deal with the opener. Exactly. Yep. At midnight is when you can start keeping the walleyes again. Yep.
Artie Arndt, our guest. Artie's Bait and Tackle Ortonville here on Sporting Journal Radio, talking about the Border Water opener on Big Stone this weekend. So as a bait shop owner, then on an opener like this, do you stay open till midnight, or do you kind of keep your regular hours, or what do you do?
We've talked about it. You know, I don't know that it necessarily makes sense. I don't think we'll have the influx of people we normally have, but I think we're going to be down there. If nothing else, the opener is still a big social event, and we get several people in with the social aspect. And we still got people, even if they're not venturing out for ice, everybody's got the itch for summer. And we will be open, and we've got a store jam packed with rods, reels. You know, we're loaded up, ready to go. So some guys, just to get rid of the itch, will be in buying equipment for the summer bite as well.
For sure. So tell me about your store a little bit. If people want to come out, maybe they're traveling from other parts of the state, want to come out and try the Border Water opener out there, what can they find at Artie's Bait and Tackle?
Well, like I said, we've got the store stocked up pretty good. We've got primarily a walleye bite out here, so jigs and plastics were loaded up. One thing we do take a lot of pride in is we do sell quite a bit of mid to higher end rods and reels. I got a full line of Fenwick rods and St. Croix rods as well, and a real nice display of reels. One thing you get when you shop with us is an experienced staff to help you pick out your equipment, and we even rig rods as well. So that's something, if you're coming through, let us help you get set up with your inventory for the summer as well.
All right, so bait shop owner, everybody's going to stop in. You talk about it being a social event, of course, because everybody wants to stop in and find out how the fishing is, where the fish are biting, what's working, this and that. And I always like to lean on the bait shop owners and the resort owners a little bit, but I always try to make it a point that when I do ask for information, I always try to buy something. And, it's a give and take, right? You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. But I'm going to ask for a little for our listeners right now, how about a little insider info? What can you tell us, a little tip that you can give maybe anglers heading out to Big Stone this weekend?
For the ice fishing this weekend, my first tip is be safe. We've got 2 feet of ice, but the shoreline ice can start to get a little unpredictable. We're advising walking traffic. There may be some ATVs. We did check some shore ice yesterday. And that first step onto the ice is not real strong. Obviously, after that, it isn't too bad. So our shorelines are still held together, but probably not by much right now. As far as fishing areas, I would say the two areas to target that are going to probably hold some fish, and we've had some reports recently, would be the Ben Hines County Road 68, which is about 4 miles north of Ortonville. That's a popular access in the wintertime, and I know there's been some fishing reports up in that area, been pretty good, as well as Rocky Ledge, which is about 11 miles up on the South Dakota side, and that's another public access there as well. So I would think if people got out off the first break, working your jigs with spikes and that type of thing, I think you're going to get into a good perch bite. And if you got your heart set on a walleye, I would probably be venturing up to the north end of the lake. And the last 10 miles of the lake, I think you're going to see, is where most of our walleye bite is going to take place.
Artie Arndt giving us some tips from Big Stone for the Border Water opener happening this weekend on the border of South Dakota and Minnesota here on Sporting Journal Radio. Just about a minute left with you here, Artie, here on Sporting Journal Radio. And you shared a video on your Facebook page, Artie's Bait and Tackle Facebook page, that I ended up sharing with the Sporting Journal Radio page, of a guy water skiing behind a jet ski. Was that from Big Stone last weekend?
It was. It's kind of funny. We definitely had spring fever out here in Ortonville. It started off here a couple weeks ago. Jesse Roscoe did a video of golfing in the snow out on the golf course, which went viral and went all over the country. I mean, that thing had hundreds of thousands of hits. And our local power sports team, they teamed up and they followed that up with that nice jet ski video. So down at the south foot end of the lake, there's a big open spot there by the mouth of the river. And yeah, they had jet skis out and was wakeboarding just out of spite to this ice to go out and prove we can do water sports. So, so yes, for the record, we have been golfing and wakeboarding already out here in Ortonville.
That's great. All right. Well, Artie's Bait and Tackle in Ortonville. If you're going to fish the opener, stop and get your bait at Artie's Bait and Tackle in Ortonville. You're going to stay open till midnight, you think, Friday?
We will be open till midnight. You bet.
How about Saturday and Sunday? What are your hours?
Saturday morning, we'll be down there at 6 a.m. Same thing on Sunday.
All right. Very good. Well, I appreciate the report. Good luck this weekend. I wish I was going to be out there. I got bachelor party duty this weekend, which a lot of times we just go fishing when we do those things. But unfortunately, not the case this weekend. But good luck this weekend, and thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Thank you.
But it can buy me a boat. It can buy me a truck to pull it. It can buy me a Yeti
waterfall. Waterfall Hunter.
If you haven't experienced the heart-pounding excitement of the spring snow goose season,
you haven't seen the most thrilling waterfall action possible.
Take that plug out of your gun and chase snows with Mid-Migration Outfitters.
Plus, you'll get to see the spring waterfall migration up close and personal.
Hunts take place from mid-February through April. Now is the time to reserve your time in the blind.
Visit MidMigrationOutfitters.com for more.
That's MidMigrationOutfitters.com.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
The ice is strong and the bite is on. Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
The numbers are back from last year's North Dakota pronghorn season. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. Hunter success during last fall's pronghorn hunting season was 75%, according to the Game and Fish Department's post-season harvest survey. Game and Fish issued 410 licenses and 366 hunters took 275 pronghorn. Each hunter spent an average of 2.4 days afield. 3% of the harvest occurred during the archery-only portion of the pronghorn season. Details on the 2018 pronghorn hunting season will be determined in July. In other news, landowners who are interested in applying for a 2018 deer gratis license can fill out their application online right now by visiting the Game and Fish Department website, gf.nd.gov. Gratis applicants who have previously applied online or by paper will already have their land description entered into the system, but landowners will still need to bring up their information this year and add the number of acres for each tract. The general deer lottery and muzzleloader applications will be available online in early May. The deadline for applying is June 6th. That is this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio network, online at sportingjournalradio.com, or maybe you're subscribing to the show in iTunes. You can do that. It's very, very simple. My name is Brett Amundson. Thank you for listening. Our guest now, Jamie Dittman, and he's a guide in the Brainerd Lakes area. Oh, I'm sorry, Captain Jamie Dittman. That's right. He's got his captain's license now, can guide up on Lake of the Woods and the Rainy River and points elsewhere. So, Jamie, how are things? You got that boat all tuned up and ready to rock?
Boat's about ready. And I'm thinking next week, the 5th and 6th or 6th and 7th, whatever it happens to be, I might be going to the Rainy River for a little sturgeon contest.
Oh, boy. Nice.
And then I'm trying to arrange plans for the fishing opener to possibly switch everybody up to go to Rainy River, because I think that's where we're going to have to go.
For open water, right?
Yeah.
Maybe down to Red Wing or something even. But yeah, yep. I have you ice fished on the opener before?
Yes, I have been on the ice the day before opener. A few years ago, we had the governor's fishing opener in Park Rapids.
Oh, yeah.
And I was pulling into my cat, got stuck in a drift.
and everything was froze. And we did actually, we walked out on the ice to say we walked out there. It was a little sketchy, but yes, it was hard to find open water that year too.
Yeah, it was. I actually fished in that Governor's Opener in Park Rapids that year. And I don't remember which lake we were going to go to.
We're supposed to go to Fishhook.
Yeah, I think it was Fishhook. And then we ended up going to a different lake because, yeah, it was still frozen.
I think you went to Two Inlets.
I could be.
And I went to some little lake that the DNR should have put a thing on that didn't have fish in it. Because I don't think there was fish in it.
Well, we didn't. We caught one northern that morning while we were out there, too. So we didn't catch any walleyes. But it was snowing. There was ice on the lake. And we were fishing out of a boat for the opener. So it was a story.
That was so cold that year.
It was very cold. And that's what we're thinking about this year with the Governor's Opener around Wilmer, whatever. We're going to try maybe to go out and do some ice fishing somewhere around the region. There's going to be something frozen still. And we're going to try to ice fish and film it for Prairie Sportsman for the opener this year.
I think that's very possible. As much ice as we had on Lake of the Woods last week, you know, you can still drive trucks out there. 48 to 60 inches of ice, they're saying out there.
That's nuts. I still can't believe that you were ice fishing for sturgeon on the Rainy River a week and a half ago now, or whatever it was, through 30 inches of ice.
It was crazy. And that night after I talked to you, we went up to the access. And at Birchdale Access at 9:30 at night, there were still 50 to 80 boats waiting to get out of the water.
Wow. Well,
so it was just bumper boats.
You know, we talked to Joe Henry earlier in the show here, and he talked about a lot of the sturgeon fishermen. They wait until after the walleye season closes so they don't have to compete with all those walleye fishermen up there.
Yeah, and this year there'll be no walleye fishermen and way more open water.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping by the 6th, hopefully it's open to the resorts by then, because that's where I like to fish. But if not, nothing else to do. Might as well get the boat out and get up there.
Heck yeah. Well, and I was only joking about getting the boat out because I figured you'd be ice fishing still. What's going on? Is anybody fishing around Brainerd right now?
Yeah, there's actually North Long yesterday. There's a few trucks out there yet too. So sooner or later, the late ice bite that we always wait for with bad ice conditions and the crappies and sunnies getting real shallow, I think sooner or later it's got to switch over to the calendar and they're just going to come no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if they did that when there's actually good ice out there that you can go chase them with.
Yeah, sooner or later, they don't have a choice. They got to spawn. The days are getting longer. So I think no matter what, you know, from now till we do lose our ice, it should be good pan fishing.
So let me ask you this, because a lot of people have been talking about birds, of course, in the spring nesting season. And I've heard reports of some ducks nesting right now and laying eggs actually in the snow, building nests in the snow. And of course that can't be good. And the wetness and these storms are obviously not good for pheasants. So birds are struggling so far this spring. What happens with fish? Can they spawn later? Does that affect the class that we might have?
I believe they can hold it for a while, but sooner or later they will just absorb them. So I think, you know, with the late spring, it does affect the next year. By what percent, I don't know. But it will have an effect on the lakes that do rely on no stocking, especially.
Well, we had too many walleyes in the state anyway, so it was probably just Mother Nature just trying to return balance. I mean, like Mille Lacs, way too many walleyes in it right now. So.
Way too many walleyes. You know, you don't want too many deer and too many walleyes.
Right. Jamie Dimon, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about spring-like. Spring on the calendar, I think, but doesn't really look like it outside. Although we've got some warmer temps and some warmer temperatures in the forecast. I think they're talking about some 60s. So hopefully things will start flipping. I remember being in South Dakota, Jamie, a month ago, hunting snow geese, and we had one day where it finally hit 50 degrees and everything was melting and birds were migrating and we were shooting geese and we were so happy. And the person on the radio was like, "Hey, I think we finally flipped the page. Spring is finally here. We've turned the corner. Here we go." That was a month ago, and I think it's colder today.
You flipped the page, and then the wind blew all the pages back to the start.
Yeah.
To the contents.
My gosh.
But also right now, what I noticed going up to Lake of the Woods is we did see a lot of deer, but if you want to see eagles now, it's definitely migrating time, because the ditches and the fields, wherever a roadkill did make it out in the field or whatever, sure, there was two or three eagles every time, you know, every kill.
Sure. Sure. Well, it's that time of the year, even if there's snow on the ground in places still. I know some areas didn't get hit with that last storm. We, West Central or Southwest Minnesota here, we got hammered pretty good with it, but you know, it's definitely melting fast, which is kind of nice. And it is, man, there's been deer all over and turkeys, Jamie, you know, and we were shooting snow geese in South Dakota last week still. Didn't really expect to, but we still were. But it was hard to convince anybody to go with us because they've turned the page for spring. They're thinking about spring fishing. They're thinking about turkey hunting. And looks like the first week of the turkey season in the books here, looks like some guys actually got out there and put on their snowshoes and...
that's the new turkey hunting shoes, the snowshoes.
Right. But looks
snow
like...
Camel.
So, snow camel. I did see that. Some guys are shooting their birds, though.
Yep. And, you know, Wes Gall was out in South Dakota a couple of weeks ago snow goose hunting. Turkey hunting.
Yeah.
And they had a epic hunt. Blizzard conditions. They got birds. It was it'll be one for the books for them.
Yeah. I saw him post about that. Do you know, did he film that?
I think they just did some footage, but I think it was too bad of conditions to get much out of it.
Huh.
But yeah, here, you know, they're starting to gobble. Season's open. I don't apply for the first seasons. I usually just take kids out and stuff. So probably next week we'll start getting some kids out in the blind and see if we can get some birds.
Yeah, I've heard of some pretty good success, and I've heard of some birds that just aren't quite ready for it yet. But I think maybe after next week, things will start to change a little bit.
Yeah, I think they're just starting to break up from the big groups and start getting into breeding now, and it'll be happening.
So we got about a minute and a half here left with Jamie Dittman on Sporting Journal Radio. And Jamie, I wanted you to talk about this because you got some sort of race coming up of some sort.
So we were going to do, there was a race in Minnesota called the Gambler 500. And what it is, it's not a race as far as speed limits and breaking laws. It's a navigational race where you get a list of a bunch of GPS coordinates and you have to figure out how to get to them and take a photo of them when you get there. And it's a 2-day, 500-mile race in a $500 vehicle. So people all through Minnesota got $500 vehicles, and I picked up a Jeep and mud tires, and and we're all set to do this on May 5th, and the fun patrol shut us down.
They shut it down?
Yep, the DNR shut it down.
Oh, was this on highways or was this off road?
It was on some highways, some minimal maintenance, some county road, just a little bit of everything.
Why did it get shut down?
They didn't want it to happen in Minnesota, so they shut it down. So now they're looking at having it in Kansas or some other state around here, because there's literally 1,000 people coming to this.
Oh wow! What was the name of it here in Minnesota?
The Gambler 500 Minnesota.
Okay.
It started out in Oregon, and they have it in different states all the time, and it's just a group of people that love to do it. Some people come from that far away, and wherever they have it, they get a lot of local people that come. And
well, let's talk more about that on a future show, and maybe further see how far the saga of the Gambler 500 Minnesota goes. All right, Jamie Dittman, thanks for the time here on Sporting Journal Radio.
Yeah, have a good one.
All right, also my thanks to Doug Lear, Joe Henry, Artie Arndt from Artie's Bait and Tackle in Ortonville, and of course, thank you for listening here to the show, and Brian Winter, too, talking prairie chickens here on Sporting Journal Radio. And thank you for listening. I'm Brett Amundson. Make sure you take some time to spend some time in the outdoors this week.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. To listen to this show again, get the latest hunting and fishing news and more, visit sportingjournalradio.com.